Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for joining us for our service today. We are still in the midst of COVID-19, and I want to give you a little bit of an update as much as I possibly can. We are discussing when we will start regular services. Well, regular in the sense that it will be in the building, and that we'll be able to gather together. But we are still under 30% restrictions and trying to figure out all the different things that we need to have in place. But we hope that we will have those taken care of, and we will be able to offer two types of services. One will be in the building and the other will continue to be our online service, which is going to continue in the midst of this and to carry on from there. And so we'll be giving you details on that as soon as possible. And as soon as we know what's going on, we will let you know. But right now we're prayerfully considering what are our best next steps as we consider meeting together here at Calendar Bay Church. Well, it is a special Sunday as we gather together, and it is Father's Day. And so we want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And we have a special video. I love the Skit Guys. And so we have a video for the dads today from the Skit Guys.
Hey, Dad. What was Grandpa like whenever you were my age?
I don't know. He's like a dad.
Did Grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
You mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did Grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes. We're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours at least.
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa teaches you to pray before every meal like that?
Yeah, for every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop, chop! My stuff's not gonna get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually paying us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
Well, we want to take some time and pray for our dads. And so let's just pause for a moment and lift them up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the dads of our congregation and for those that have taken on significant role models within the church. And Father, we pray that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that Father, you would help them to be a good example in word and deed and action. And that, Father, you would be encouraging them this day, and that, Father, your blessing would be on them. As, Father, you use them in this role, may you be glorified in and through them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, happy Father's Day to all the dads that are out there. Just to give you a few announcements of different things, not much going on. We are talking about high power soccer. Got some word this week that the community center has been booked and we are planning accordingly. We're still trying to get all the details worked out, but thanks to Wilma and Patricia, we are moving ahead with that. We'll give you more details on that as it unfolds. We've been using some different ways in order to be able to help us remain connected during this COVID-19 time. One of the ways is through our Facebook group. And so each day we post some encouraging worship songs, devotionals, prayers, some funny things, and you can go to our Facebook group and interact there. Usually we have a Calendar Bay Connects question, and you can post pictures or your comments. But also we do what we call the daily encouragement, which is something we publish 6 days a week just to be able to encourage you and give you some connection with the church. We take most of the things that are on the Facebook group and put them together in a really cool email package and send them out to people on a daily basis. And so you can get onto that list by emailing us at info@calendarbaychurch.ca. Again, that's info@calendarbaychurch.ca. Prayer requests. If you've got a prayer request that you'd like to have prayer for, you can contact our prayer chain, which is prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. Again, that's prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. And if you send your request out, it goes out to various people to pray for, and we keep those things as confidential as we can, and just to be able to pray for your different needs. You can give to the church. Thank you so much. I have been so amazed and so pleased at how generous everyone has been during this difficult time. As we've not been able to gather in the building, people are still faithfully sending in their gift, whether it be through online giving or physically making sure that their gift gets to us. Thank you so much for your generosity. You have shown the faithfulness of God in the way that you have been giving. But if you would like to give, there's a couple ways, and we've already mentioned them, that you can give online. Just go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. Go to the About tab and click on there, and it'll tell you some ways to give. Once you get that set up, it's all set up, and you can continue to do that. But if you've never done it before, very simple, very secure, and you can give by going to calendarbaychurch.ca. The other way is to mail it to the church, and you can do that by mailing it to Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, our address is Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Each week we put together a worship playlist just to be able to have an extended time of worship. We've been keeping our online services pretty tight, and so this just gives you some worship songs which will tie into the worship, the theme of that week, and so you can listen to those whether before the service or just on your own at another time. The worship playlist is available for you. We also have a couple different resources to be able to help you as you grow on your spiritual journey. One is a small group curriculum, and so you can either join a small group. The two small groups are still functioning right now. Going to be wrapping up for the summer soon, but they're still going right now. And so if you want information about our small groups, you can contact the church either by phone or by email. The other thing that we have available there is the Bible, our Discovery Bible Study, which is our kids' curriculum designed for parents to have a little lesson based on the message that you can go through with your kids. And so those resources are both available on our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca. Also, lots of other great resources that are available at our webpage. And so you can grab a hold of those and use them. and just to be able to help encourage your family and yourself as we grow together in faith. Well, we want to take some time and worship the Lord together, and we want to sing the great hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Now, this has some little bit of different words and a different chorus that's added along, but I hope that it'll just help you to be able to worship even more our holy, holy, holy God.
Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. And may our worship rise up to him because he is worthy of our praise. Well, we have been working on a series of messages. I think this will probably be known as the COVID series of messages, as the whole thing has been in our online service. But I hope you've really appreciated as we've looked at who is this man and talking about Jesus and the impact of Jesus on his historical surroundings and how that impact has moved throughout history and still impacts us today. We have looked at the unpredictable impact of the inescapable Jesus. That Jesus's impact has been so wide and sweeping on our world that historians have said that he is the most significant influence in all of history. And what does that mean for us today? Well, as we wrap things up as this series, we want to talk about central issues, because Jesus really did focus on central issues. What is to be the center of your life? Now, if we were to kind of look at our own lives, if you know somebody was evaluating and looking at my life or your life, what would they say was at the center? Maybe it would be your family, that would be the most significant and important thing. Maybe it would be your job. Maybe it would be your possessions. Maybe it would be the pursuit of money or things. Maybe it would be some cause that you've become, that you find is important. Whatever the case may be, what is it that is at the center and the core of your life? Now, in Jewish culture, if we were to go back to the time of Jesus and say, what was at the center of Jewish culture? It was the temple. Now, the temple was the focal point of everything. It was a sign to the world that God had established a toehold here on earth, that the temple was the place where God resided, that it was the place where you would go and you could be able to experience the presence of God in a spot and in a place. And so the temple became the center of Jewish culture. Habakkuk 2:20 says this: the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. That this is the place where on earth God is. And so it was a holy place. It was a reverent place. And so it was there that you had the opportunity to interact with God. It was the center of their culture. Now, the temple did a number of things. Now, these were the role of the temple within Jewish culture. Number one was it was a place where sacrifices took place. And sacrifices were important because it had to do with the forgiveness of sins. And so if you wanted to have your sins forgiven, the things that you have done wrong, then you needed to go to the temple in order to be able to have your sins forgiven. It was also the place where infants were named. You know, Jesus, when he was brought to the temple when he was very young, that was a part of it, that it was his naming process. You didn't become really an officially person until you went to the temple. And it was at the temple that you really began to take your identity. It was also a place, because God resided there, that it was a place of worship. And so there was a deeper connection with God that took place because you were at the temple. It truly was the place where heaven and earth would meet together. Now, I put together a little graphic to kind of explain that. Now, here we have heaven and we have earth, and it's in that place in between where those two spheres join that we find the temple. And so here we have that spot where heaven and earth is meet together is in the temple. And so it really was the center of their life. Now, Jesus' association with the temple, Jesus taught about the temple, and he made some very staggering statements about the temple. Now, when Jesus, some of his interactions with the temple happened, I mentioned one, but there's two of them that happen in Luke chapter 2. And now in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is presented at the temple. And so that's when, you know, he was given his name. And on his way to the temple to have that done, they bump into Simeon and Anna. Now, both Simeon and Anna had been promised by God that they would see the coming of the Messiah and that they weren't going to die until this had taken place, that they get to see the Messiah. And so they're both getting old. And as Jesus comes into the temple, they both recognize who Jesus is and worship him right there. And so here we have, even from the beginning, Simeon and Anna recognizing how important and central Jesus is. Now, at another point, Jesus returned, and this is again in Luke chapter 2. Jesus returned when he was a young teen. And so he came back to the temple, and as they did that, they spent their time doing the temple, and so they're returning back home again, and as they're going home, Mary and Joseph realize that Jesus isn't with them. Now, this is one of the very few stories that is recorded in Scripture of talking about Jesus when he was a young person. The rest of the things all happen when Jesus, after he was 30 years old. So this is the only one of the few references to something that happened before that. And so Jesus, when they finally find him, he's hanging around the temple, and this is what Jesus says to his parents: "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" And so Jesus makes a statement that wouldn't you guys figure it out that I would want to be where my Father is? Or another way that this verse is translated is that, didn't you know that I would want to be about my Father's business? And so Jesus is making some interesting statements about the temple and his connection to it. And so Jesus goes on and he says, at a later point when he's interacting at the temple again, and he gets angry and he turns tables over and he takes whips out and he casts all these people out of the temple, because, and he says, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers." And so Jesus, again, is making a very strong personal connection between himself and the temple. And so Jesus is making some very interesting statements about his personal connection to the temple. And at another couple points, Jesus makes other statements about the temple. And these statements, particularly the second one we're going to look at here, were statements that got him in trouble and were ones that were brought up when he was put under trial before his death. And so listen to what Jesus says about the temple. He says, "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here." Now, to the listening ears that were there, they would have said, "What do you mean there's something greater than the temple? The temple's the center of our worship. The temple is the place where God and men interact here on earth." And so, how could you make a statement that something more important than the temple is here? And Jesus is referencing himself. And this is the one that got him into trouble. He says, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And so Jesus says that this physical temple, I'm going to destroy it. And then I'm going to raise it again in 3 days. Now, they didn't know that he was talking about himself. They thought that he was threatening to break down the center of their faith. And so here Jesus is making this incredibly staggering statement about the temple, that he's more important than the temple, and that he's going to destroy the temple and then bring it back again. We want to take a look at a passage of scripture. Now, this passage of scripture is when it is very early in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is still living around his hometown. He's done some ministry in the area, but he's going back to his synagogue, his local synagogue, and makes some and reads here. And I'll just read this passage of scripture, Luke 4, starting at verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So here we have Jesus teaching in the synagogue and saying that these incredible things are going to happen because Jesus was there. Jesus is declaring upon himself temple things. Things that would have been connected with what the temple was doing, and Jesus is declaring them about himself. And so these thoughts are very staggering. And so it would have, the listening ear would have said, what in the world is he declaring about himself? When Jesus made those declarations, everybody is going, how can he make that statement about himself? He lives up the street. He's a local. He can't make these statements about himself. They can't apply to somebody who's, you know, comes over for dinner every week. They can't fit. And so Jesus makes these incredible statements. Jesus is talking and acting as if the whole idea of the temple was to point to him. And he is talking as if everything the temple pictured was coming true because he was around. He is claiming that in him, his life, his teaching, his actions, heaven had fully invaded the earth. The original picture was that heaven and earth intersected in the temple. Jesus makes another statement. He says, heaven and earth connect through him. And through Jesus, those two circles are almost on top of each other, because Jesus is allowing heaven to fully invade the earth. When Jesus died on the cross, he paved a new way, and he became the temple. So what happens? Through Jesus dying on the cross, what used to happen in the temple, would go and get your sins forgiven by making sacrifice. Jesus says, for all of time, I am taking your sins upon me. And so forgiveness of sins comes through Jesus. Jesus declares that outcasts can be taken in. The temple only allowed a certain amount of people to come in. And Jesus says that those restrictions are gone. Through me, anybody can get access to God. Anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what background you are. Doesn't matter your mental faculties. It doesn't matter. Through Jesus, anybody can now have access to God. The Apostle Paul says that anybody in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. And so what is he saying? Just as the temple, you used to bring your child there so that they would take on a new identity. Through Jesus Christ, you come to him and you have a new identity in Christ. And so here we have Jesus declaring that something that would have been a temple thing is now going to be fulfilled through him. And so Jesus says that what used to be the center of your culture, now you will find your divine purpose in me. That Jesus is going to be the one that is going to give us divine purpose by coming to him. Because heaven has fully invaded the earth. Heaven and earth are now joined together. So who is this man? We've been asking this question and we've looked at all sorts of different aspects of Jesus. But we find that in Jesus, this is the message that pulls it all together. That it's Jesus who is now the replacement for the temple. He fulfilled the temple. And now gives each one of us full access to God. And so when we talk about Jesus, the wonder of Jesus, that there is no one more significant, that his impact is greater than anyone else in all of history, that through Jesus, Jesus bestows worth on us. We now have the image of God stamped upon our lives. Through Jesus Christ, that we are his work of art, that we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, that we have been placed in this life-changing community, that we have joined together into a new community, and this new community says that where two or three of us are gathered together, there he is in the midst. And so we are the new community that is responsible for bringing the life-changing message of Jesus, that Jesus, through Jesus, heaven has invaded earth. And Jesus destroys us and them thinking, saying anybody who wants to come into a relationship with God is free to come. And here we have Jesus bringing all this together, because he is the center of it all. And Jesus shows us what greatness is really about. And so here we have Jesus bringing us this incredible truth that in Jesus, humanity and divinity intersect in one man. That Jesus came as fully God and fully man and came together to bring us to a point where we will be able to get into a right relationship with God. He became like us so that we can be like him. Jesus became fully man so that we as people could have the opportunity to be like him. And anybody who wants to get in on it can. Anybody who says, I want to get in on that faith in Jesus thing, they can get in on it. That there is no boundaries anymore. Religious boundaries have been destroyed through the work of the cross, and anybody can come into a relationship with Christ. Now, heaven can invade earth through ordinary human beings. And this is the most staggering truth. Well, maybe I shouldn't be that strong, but I think it's incredible. That when Jesus came to this earth and he fulfilled the temple responsibilities, he did something else as well. And he said, now you are the temple. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? In Jewish culture, the temple was the place where God was. And you could only have access to that if you went there. And Jesus comes and he fulfills the temple, and then he says, you're going to become the new temple. You're going to be the new place where God resides by his Spirit in you. And so here we have Jesus making this incredibly profound statement that each one of us is now the place where Jesus lives by his Spirit. Heaven has fully entered into the earth and lives in us. It was the same principle as what Jesus was teaching about the kingdom. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. We are a part of the kingdom of God. God lives and resides in each one of us. What did Jesus teach? That the kingdom of God is inside of you. And Paul teaches, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, we become the new temple, the place where heaven intersects with the earth. Wow, what an incredible, crazy thing. So what do we do with this? Well, when Jesus was here on earth, he was calling his disciples, and he has one interaction with Nathanael. Nathanael's not one of the more, Peter, James, John, Judas, the more famous of the disciples. Nathanael is a part of it, but he's kind of on the outer edge of it. But when Jesus was calling his disciples, he met Nathanael, and Nathanael's first interaction with him was very skeptical. He saw Jesus and Jesus, what he was doing, and his response was kind of like the people who were interacting with him when he saw Jesus talking in the synagogue about that Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah was coming true in him. And he was really kind of skeptical. And he said, can anything good come from Nazareth? He even goes a little bit further to becoming a little bit insulting, that saying, I know that community and I don't think there's anything good that can come out of that. But Jesus isn't offended by Nathanael's skepticism. But he does say something to Nathanael. He says to Nathanael, come and see. Come and see what's going to be happening. Come and see what is going to happen when heaven fully invades the earth. Come and see it. It's like he's saying to Nathanael, come and give this a test run. You know, when you get trying a vehicle, you go out and you take it for a whirl just to see whether you like it. And Jesus basically is saying to Nathaniel, come and see. I think you're going to like what you see. And this is what Jesus says to Nathaniel. Now, he is quoting from the Old Testament, the story of Jacob. Jacob sleeps out in the wilderness, and he has a vision of, it's called Jacob's ladder in Scripture. You know, that there was this ladder that was going between heaven and earth. And so Jesus, when talking to Nathanael, uses that illustration because it was an image of heaven and earth, the connection together. And so here is what he says. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus says to Nathanael, if you come and see, you are going to see fully heaven invade the earth. And he says, this is what you're going to see. You will see heaven invade earth. You will see that if you taste and see that the Lord is good, that he is good. And he goes on and he says even more. He says, and you will see greater things. That Jesus is going to, says, you're going to see some incredible things as heaven invades earth. But it's not going to stop there. You will see greater things than even that as you become the temple where I reside. You will even see greater things because you will be his temple, the place where God lives and resides. And so you don't have to go to somewhere to find God. That God is going to be right with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That God lives and resides in each one of us by his Holy Spirit. You will be his temple. Just as we wrap up these thoughts, at the beginning we talked about how Jesus wanted to deal with central issues. And Jesus wants to be at the center of your life. Jesus wants to reside in you by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be his temple. And maybe you've never, ever asked Jesus to be the center of your life. And maybe today is the day. Today is the day when you say, Jesus, come into my life. And just as we close the service, would you say that in your heart? Jesus, please be the center of my life. I want you to live in me by your Holy Spirit. I want to be the place, because of what Jesus did on the cross, where heaven and earth come together. I'd encourage you in the privacy of your heart just to do that. And if you make that decision, would you let us know? Would you contact us by email or even in the comment in the section beside? Just let us know. Choose to put Jesus in the center of your life. And for those of us that have made a decision to follow Christ, we need to choose daily to keep Jesus at the center. I think sometimes we kind of limit what God is doing in our lives. And we don't let heaven fully invade our lives. The Word of God says that we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can limit his interactions. And so We want Jesus to choose daily, to choose to put Jesus at the center of our lives. You know, the Bible says things like, don't be anxious about anything. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's by choosing to have Jesus, choosing Jesus instead of being anxious. The Word of God says, don't worry about anything. Well, how do you do that? Well, you don't worry about things by placing Jesus at the center. And so for some of us, we need to get back to the basics. Who is this man? Well, this is Jesus. Jesus replaced the temple so that we could become his temple where he lives and resides. And so I would encourage you, choose to put Jesus at the center, and then each day, daily choose to keep Jesus at the center. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this incredible truth that you want to reside in each one of us. That when Jesus came to the earth, he made some strong statements about the temple. The temple was the place where you met with your people. And Jesus said, through me, you are going to fully invade the earth. And so each one of us has the opportunity to be that place where Jesus lives and resides. Father, thank you for this incredible privilege. The privilege of allowing heaven and earth to be connected together in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to sing a song, and I want you to make this song your prayer as we close. The song is, You Are My King. And then the chorus, it says, You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Would you make that your prayer as we close the service? Let's sing together.
Lord God Almighty.
I hope you made that your prayer, that Jesus is your King, the center of your life. And may He be the center of our every day. And may we allow God to fully invade the earth through us. Pray that God would richly bless you as you go through your week. We'll keep you posted on the various things that are going on as far as COVID-19 and getting back together again. And so be watching for information on both Facebook and the Daily Encouragement. And you can join in as we close the service. We always give a few minutes just to be able to interact together online, just to say goodbyes, or maybe you have a question about something that was said today, and so we can have a little bit of a discussion. Well, I pray again that God would bless you, and we'll see you next week.